individual should side by side, there should be a measure of satisfaction for his instinctual nature, and yet involvement in the highest form of activity, which is Avodas Hashem. That's why the Rav one time said, he says, what's the whole concept of a Seder? The concept of a Seder is that we serve God through our stomach. How could you serve God through your stomach? Because Aristotle wouldn't be happy with that kind of a situation. He says, but no, but yeah, this one thinks that's true. Why? Because the whole Suda, of the night of Pesach, that is the Suda. That's the only real halachic Suda. But that Suda is a Suda where there's achila, there's shia, on the contrary, shia's yayin, and the best food, but it completely revolves around halachic ish. Every step of the way is halachic. You see? That's the method of Yadis. That side by side, so that what happens is that the instincts receive satisfaction, but not as an end, only as a means, you see? And the same thing is true in every human relationship in Yadis. Yadis doesn't deny a person the enjoyments that exist between, the social enjoyments that exist between him and his chaver, or between a man and his wife. On the contrary, Yadis promotes it. But, side by side, there could never be a situation where he simply releases himself from his level of machshava. Can't be such a, because then the gavra's lost. Then it becomes an end in itself, and then it gets lost in the regular, where the rest of the world gets lost in the endless pursuit of fantasies, which is impossible to satisfy, and he has a miserable life. The Yadis demands that there is the satisfaction is there, but simultaneously, side by side, must always be operating the Tzelem HaLokim in every single relationship. The satisfaction, the personal satisfaction that a Baal Halacha receives is a greater psychological satisfaction even than the person who involves himself totally freely. Why? Because, you see, these things, Yadis maintains like this, that all the Hanos Olam Hazeh, Yadis doesn't deny. Yadis doesn't want a person not to have Hanos Olam Hazeh. The only thing Yadis demands is one thing, that these enjoyments of Olam Hazeh are very good within a certain framework. It means as long as they're functioning as a means, they're very good. As an end, the man is crazy. That's human insanity. But as a means, they happen to be very good, because everything, all that is matter, the Rambam says that even a person that's on the level of a Navi, he's supposed to take a walk and appreciate nature, and it's all wonderful. All the things that God created are all wonderful and enjoyable, provided there's one provision, a very strict provision, and that is that they're in the right place for what they really can do. They can serve a person to give him a hachavas hadas, but the etzem, the essence, has got to be his natural tzelem elokim, which is to perceive chachmas Hashem. Then everything's wonderful. All the anos are wonderful. But once the problem with man is that man gets out of line. Out of line meaning to say that he takes something which was given as an accidental thing, a side thing, and he tries to plunge all his energies and derive everything that is, all the psychic energies can from this involvement, this activity. And that is really the distortion of man. That's really the distortion. I would say, therefore, on the contrary, that a person who has a halachic relationship derives more satisfaction from his personal relationship. Because the personal relationship is serving the purpose that it was meant to, and it's in its proper perspective, so it's purely pleasure and no pain. Whereas if the personal relationship, the person becomes involved and tries to derive all his psychological satisfaction out of the personal relationship, he has to meet with an impossible result, because that's not what it was designed for. So he must have pain. In terms of human satisfaction, a person has a halachic relationship and partakes of the personal in the degree that halacha sets up, will have only pleasure and enjoyment out of the personal. who will bypass all the pitfalls of that the world experiences in the personal relationships and all the complications that result. On the contrary, we'll have more enjoyment because it has its proper place. So therefore, that's the method of Yavis. Side by side, no denial of the personal, but it's placed. The perspective is the quality. That perspective, that's a qualitative concept. The perspective looks like it's almost the same, but there's a world of difference. The others, in terms of Musa, I would say that this is one of the most important concepts, because it's a revision of a person. If a person takes this concept seriously, it means he has to revise his whole way of living. Not only is it important in terms of Beinan L'Havera, I mean, that's certainly, but I mean in terms of personal philosophical perfection. Personal perfection. Shleimus Adam. Because a person that lives this way has to live on a different plane. Must live on a different plane. The emotions that seek satisfaction are usually the unbridled social emotions. Those are the ones. Those are the ones that are most devastating. That's why, as a point of Musa, I would say this is like the essence of Pirkei Avos. Okay. You know what the Gemara says? The Gemara says, "Call Lomei Veina Osa." I mean, it means to say that once a person realizes that, it's extremely important. A person puts it into practice. I mean, it's not just a matter of it's a very serious defect. It's to my door. Okay? So does Yadda say that you're not supposed to have rahmanas for the yami? No, on the contrary. Rams is a person that doesn't have any consideration for somebody else. Emotionally, is an achzor. But he's not simply overcome by the. It's not the only line of his relations. Not the only line that he's operating on is because he feels sorry for the other. There's a whole halacha of hilchos matnas aniyim that has to come to mind. So when he helps the ani, he feels compassion for the ani. But side by side, all the halachas of matnas aniyim are functioning in his mind. What is the halacha with regard to the son? And what are the chiyuvim? And there's many times sometimes the chiyuvim are great, sometimes they're not. It depends on the situation. A person who just reacts to an oni emotionally is really not the one that is going to do the correct action. He's not the one that's going to do the correct action. He must emerge from a knowledge and an understanding of the halacha. If he doesn't, what's going to happen is he could be mafazer all his morals on this oni when he shouldn't have, and the next oni that comes, he may have a lot of compassion, but what good is it? The next oni that really needs him, needs a system more than the first one, so he doesn't have any more money left for him. I mean, emotions are not the way for a person to work. Simultaneously, Yadis does say that a person must have compassion, yes, but not pure compassion. Pure compassion leads to disaster. See? Just compassion alone leads to disaster. It must be accompanied at all times with chachma. If it's not accompanied with chachma, then it's just disruptive. So, I have one common underlying theme. We'll get to it, but let's just finish off this one, and we'll go back. So, ladies, Rav Shimon Omer, Shloshik Sarni. There are three crowns. Difficult Mishnah. The Rambam says, "The Shloshik Sarim Nichtu Yisrael." Right? Well, what does it mean? It says three. What are the three? Keser Torah, the crown of Torah, Keser Kahuna, and Keser Malchus. All right. The Keser Shem Tov Olal Gaban. All right. Right. So it runs like this: Elu Hashalosh Milos. These three milos were given to this nation. It's a well-known chazal. And what chazal say? Kahuna zocha bo Aaron. So when it came to Kahuna, he took the Kahuna. Aaron was up for that. All right. Malchus zocha bo David. Came to kingship, so David Malach was the one that was up. Shevet Yehuda. The Keser Torah, but the crown of Torah is Munach L'chol Misha Yirtzo L'Satabo. So the crown of Torah is lying in wait for anyone that wants to crown himself. Take it. Ram Razal, the Shema Torah, Shema Tomar Shezeh HaKeser Pochosu Meishnayim Acher. Maybe say that this Keser is inferior to the other two? Ain't okay. It's not so. Avol Godlu Mishneim. It's greater than both of them put together. Ubo Yiyu Ashnayim. And in the Torah will be the two. Shenema Bi Melochim Yimlochu V'Rosnim Yechokek Yitzedek. Okay? So, Rama Bisar and Yeshua. Alright? So, what is the most important thing is Talmud Torah. They said it already in the Mishnah Torah. Talmud Torah can make the one. Alright, what is the statement? What is this, the Shlosha Ksar and Rifa Rizal? Shlosha Yuchas Talmud Torah. Shema Torah, Shaosim Aksar and Bidolim Mikesa Torah? No. Arei Oma, Bi Melochim Yimlochu, Verozim Yechot Yitzedek, Bi Yisorim Yeshoru. Ola Marata, Shekesa Torah, Gadol Mishneya. Okay? Amru Chachomim, Mamza Tamu Chacham, Kodom Lekoin Gadol Amaretz. Shenema, Yekarhi Mipnim. Okay? Mikoin Gadol, Mikoin Gadol, Shenichnas Lefnai Velefnim. All right? So, comparison is purely a fantasy of his imagination. There's no such thing as comparison. Comparison is a human concept. So really, every person is living in the realm of his own reality. So I'm not a kain, I'm not a kain. That's it. I'm not a malach, I'm not a malach. What is the point? What is the point? Yes. Well, what I think of the question is, how can you say it's three when it comes out it's four? And the Rambam says like this, Avo keser shem tov, he says, the keser of shem tov, magia me'esa Torah. Ratzisi Loma, I mean to say Yidi'oso, the knowledge of Torah, Va'amasebo, and the action which results from that knowledge. Ki bohen yagia ha-shem tov ha-amiti. Yeah, he makes that clear, ha-amiti. The real shem tov. In other words, you cannot judge the shem tov by popular vote. Who has a better name? That's nonsense. There's such a thing as a real shem tov, and there's such a thing as a political shantel. The two don't necessarily coincide and don't usually coincide factually. It's a shantel hamiti. You have to understand that too. What does it mean, shantel hamiti? What does it mean, the real shantel? It means to say that a person could not have a good name, apparently, and he has the real shantel. And another person can have a very good name and not have a shantel. What does it mean? The thing we see from the memory, is like this. B'shloshak sara nichtu yisrael. Nichtu yisrael. Which, what does it mean, the Shloshek Sarim Nichtar Yisrael? And the Rambam says that way. The Rambam says, Eilu HaShalosh Mailos Tovos Nitnu Lu'umazu B'tchilas Nisina Satora. Vein HaKunav HaMalchus Satora. Now it seems that what it means is, what is clear is that this is not a perfection. This is not something that could have been possible without Matan Torah. Without Matan Torah. Okay? Now, so, I think it means like this. There are two planes that a person functions on. Two planes a person functions on. A person functions insofar as his own perfection. A person functions on a personal plane insofar as his own perfection. But that really is not enough. If an individual is only concerned with his own perfection, it's an interesting thing, the result is that he's nichras mechay olam haba. Because the halacha says a person that's a poresh midache the tzibur. It means an individual goes away from the tzibur, leaves the tzibur, and he's just concerned with himself. His halacha is that he's a poresh midache tzibur. Is not only that, it's ein lam chagam alabo al nechrasim va'ovdim v'nidun al gadol rishon v'chatasim v'olam lo ne'lon. Interesting thing. Yeah, serious thing. Parash midach tzibur. Parash midach tzibur means that the person simply goes away, he doesn't care about the tzibur, and goes on his own. It's parash midach tzibur. Now that's what's talking about. Does not care about the tzibur. Terrible thing. Doesn't seem so terrible, but the halacha considers it very terrible, yes? Okay. Yes, in terms of perfection, still considered a rush. How is that so? Why is that so? Why is that so? Because the answer is that a person has to work in the world of perfection on two levels. He has to work on a personal level, but there's another commitment. There's a commitment to the reality of Sinai. If a person is an Ohev Hashem, which naturally results from his limud, so he must, he can't turn his back on God's plan, which is V'atem Tiuli Mamlechas Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh, and this means that the nation has a very specific function in the framework of humanity, and that function was given to us at Sinai, and that's God's will. So an individual, it's impossible actually to be an Ohev Hashem and to turn his back on the plan of the Creator. It's totally impossible. A person who does it, that's why you see, really, a person who is Poresh Midachet Tzibor means that he has a distorted idea of Avas Hashem. Must be something wrong. It's impossible to be right. So, therefore, you see that there are two levels of perfection that we function on. One is insofar as personal perfection, but the second level, which of course stems from personal perfection, but is not directly. It stems from it, but it's not a direct involvement in the personal. But on the contrary, that is a necessary result of involvement in personal perfection. And that is that a person must be involved in the event of Sinai. The event of Sinai, and doing things that promote the objective of Sinai. Okay? Now, what I want to say is like this, that this memory is speaking not in terms of the personal. That's why it's difficult to understand the memory. Because he's speaking in terms of the personal. What is he saying? We have already another Mishnah that says, Elv Ram Shem Ram Shir, and all the different things, and the biggest mitzvahs in the world, Talmud Torah Kneg Kula. That's a Mishnah. So what do you have to go further for? What do you have to have this whole thing here for? The answer is the Mishnah in Peah that's talking about the different things is speaking on a personal level. Chasodim, Ahmas Eskala, Levayas Hameis, all these things are on a personal level. On a personal level, Talmud Torah Kneg Kula. But now there's a different phenomenon. We aren't just individuals on a personal level, but we're part of a system which God brought forth in at Sinai. Now we have a responsibility to that system. You see. Now in that system, that's where the Ksarim come in. What are the Ksarim? The Kesar means something which is a crown, which means to say it's something which projects a certain kind of perfection. Alright? Now, what the halacha says is, in other words, the halacha says like this, it's not the Kohen insofar as his, what does the Kohen have to work in the Beis HaMikdash for? Avodah. Why does he work in the Beis HaMikdash? Does he work in the Beis HaMikdash for his own personal perfection? That would be strange to say that only he is entitled to the personal perfection and a regular Yisrael can't have that perfection. The answer is no. On the contrary. The reason why he works in the Mikdash is for the perfection of the Ummah. For the perfection of the Ummah. Because the halachic system of Avodah perfects everyone that comes in contact with it. When the Mikdash was around, was in existence, and people came to the Mikdash and they saw the way the Kohen was makriv kabanos, they saw the whole halachic system of kabanos from the beginning, from the shechita to the rigor halacha, all the halachas that were going on, it was a whole halachic phenomenon. He saw the bias, and he knew this was the makom ashra shechina. It perfected the individual. So the kahuna was created for the purpose of perfection of the klal. That's what it means, kesa kahuna. Kesa kahuna. Kesa means, or crown means something which is seen by everybody and recognized by everybody. And the purpose of this whole recognition is because it perfects the person and it gives him the recognition of God. There's another, if the Kohen does the Avodah properly, the Kohen, that's why by the Bnei Eli, the Chet was so serious. Because the moment they weren't performing the kahuna in a proper way, so it was a destruction of the whole institution, which was basically created to show a person Avodah. What is Avodah? The concept of Avodah is that a person sublimates his energies, his primitive energies, and brings it to a higher level. That's the concept of avodah. That's the concept of avodah in man. So kahuna was an institution that taught man perfection. Now, to be able to bring about perfection is considered in Yadus as being placed in a very good situation. Because an individual who has Avas Hashem naturally wants to do such a thing. Naturally wants it. Like the Rambam says, and why Avram Avinu represents the highest level of Avas Hashem. That's the way the Torah, the meat of Avas Hashem. Why? Because the Rambam says that he went out to the people and he used to speak to the people and teach them about the true ideas of God. So the Rambam says that that's considered Avas Hashem, because a person who likes somebody else always tries to increase his friends, tries to speak of his praise. So the Avram Avinu was involved constantly in Avas Hashem. That's why he went and tried to influence people. And he had a whole group, a few hundred people, and he constantly tried to increase the amount of people that recognize God. That's Avas, an expression of Avas Hashem. So the Kohen, the true Kohen, a regular Kohen might look at his avodah as a difficult thing. Pain, yeah, nuisance, he has to go do the avodah. But a true Kohen, no, on the contrary, looks at it, because he has Avas Hashem, it's an opportunity for him to express his Avas Hashem through his kahuna. He's overjoyed by it, you see. He's overjoyed by it. Because it's in the framework, it's perfection in terms of bringing about the goal of Sina. It's Avas Hashem, you see. So a Kohen is in a special position to bring about Avas Hashem. A person's not a Kohen, isn't in that position. That's the Keser Kohen. That's the Keser Kohen. Okay? The Keser Malchus is the same thing. Malchus means true Malchus. True Malchus is the greatest Kiddush Shem Shamayim. Because true Malchus means that a person sees Melech Yisrael, he sees the Melech Yisrael involved in ideas, in halacha, and in true justice, without any elements of corruption. This is the greatest Kiddush Hashem, you see. We had such a thing, took place in Tamas Shlomo HaMelech. Because Shlomo HaMelech was the ultimate Melech Yisrael, and he brought about the greatest Kiddush Hashem. I mean, without going to the Midrashim, you know already with the Midrashim about his throne, how it was all worked out, and how the Chachamim came in, and he learned with Sanhedrin and the whole system. But it's open sukkim. The Pasuk says that the Malkah Shlo, when she came to see the Eshema Shlomo, the Eshema Hashem, so she came to see him, and then he answered her questions. He answered her questions. Malkah Shlo is Kol Chachma Shlomo V'Abayas HaShabana. And then she says, and then she says, Lo Amanti Lazvarim. Then she looks and says, Ashrei Anoshecha, it's Melachim Yudches. Ashrei Anoshecha, Ashrei Avadecha Eileha Omdim Lufanecha Tomid, Hashomim Eschach Masecha, Yerushem Lakecha Baruch, Asher Chofes Bechol Esitcha Kisei Yisrael, Ba'avas Hashem Es Yisrael La'olam, Ha'yisimcha Lamelech, Lasos Mishpat Yitzchak. Lasos Mishpat Yitzchak. You see? So you see, the person that brings about Mishpat and Tzedakah creates the greatest Kiddush Hashem. That's the Keser Malchus. That's the Keser Malchus. Now, a person that has Avas Hashem would run to a situation where he could express his Avas Hashem through showing the greatness of Torah and being the ultimate Melech, being the just Melech. That's the greatest Kiddush in Shemayim. That's Keser Malchus. But Keser Malchus, everybody can't do. Everybody can't have Keser Malchus, you see. And the reason why everybody can't have Keser Malchus is because it's an impossibility. I want you to understand. The reason why you have Keser, one time spoke about, it's not going to go into detail, but one time spoke about the reason why Keser Kahuna and Keser Malchus has to be transmitted. It's the nature of the institution is such that that's the way it has to be. If it's not transmitted from off the bane, it would lose its whole estate. So that can't be otherwise. So a person is obviously Hashem is going to try to push himself into an area where he can't, on the contrary, he'll destroy the whole institution. So Keser Malchus and Keser Kahuna, those two psalm are given to specific individuals, and it's Bein HaChabein. Okay. But there's another Keser. There's another Keser. What's the other Keser? The other Keser is Keser Torah. What does it mean, Keser Torah? It means like this. It means that Torah, yeah. for the Malchus, because Malchus always reflects Malchus Kodesh Baruch Hu. Even if it's a corrupt Malchus, but still, since it's institutionalized and organized, it's a reflection of the person when he sees Malchus. As the Gemara says, La'olam yoritzadim, a person should run to see covered even Malchus Yimos Olam. Why? Because then he realizes what the true covered is going to be like. So that's why it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu Malchus. But it's... Malchus is being called covered not to this Malchus. This Malchus could be a Russian. But it's the institution of Malchus. Because Malchus is related to Melech Malchus and Rome. The institution in abstract. Malchus is a good thing. Without Malchus, you can't have anything. So the institution, Yadis, what happens is that the institution can be taken apart from the individual that's functioning in the institution. That's why you call it all the Malchus. But what is Keset Torah mean? What is Keset Torah mean? Shecholak mechvodo lebos of Adam. So you see that it's a reflection of Melech Malchus and Rome, right. And really, the truth of the matter is that that's really the difference between Avraham Avinu before he received Nevuah and after he received Nevuah. Before he received Nevuah, he went very far in terms of philosophical, but after Nevuah, there were certain institutions that he received that could never have been possible without Nevuah. Like how you hold a cover to a boss of a dom, to a Rebbe, that a person, Esed Hashem Alekecha Atira, L'Rabbas Tamidach HaChon. It's a concept that a person wouldn't say. On the contrary, at what right do you have to hold a cover to a boss of a dom, and in a way that it's he would be wholly covered to Shechina. It sounds crazy, but the, only the halacha could define precisely the manner and the way and the concept of doing it. And if it's done according to halacha, it's proper. Otherwise, it's crazy. Yeah. So what is Keset Torah? What does Keset Torah mean? Keset Torah means that Torah is not just a person of the culture. That's what it means. Mishlosha ksorim nichtu Yisrael is exeris akasser. What does it mean to say? What does exeris akasser say? It tells you that don't think that there are only two kisorim, kahuna and malchus, but no! Torah, personal perfection, has a halacha of a keser. It means that the Torah took, the halacha, took Torah, and it took a Talmud Chacham, and gave him a certain prominence and a certain position, insofar as demonstrating the ultimate Kol Shamayim, you see? And that's why he gives an example. What does Rambam say? Rambam gives an example. Please. Cholamadda shekeset Torah gadol mishneihem. Next halacha. Amar chachamim. Mamzer talmud chacham kodem lekohen gadol am haaretz. Shenemar yikarehi mipninim mikohen gadol shenichnas lifnai v'lifnim. What does that mean? What does it mean? Does the Rambam have to tell you that the Mamzer talmud chacham is better than the kohen gadol am haaretz? Of course he's better. We know that he's better. The Talmud Torah can make Kulam. How can you compare an Amoritz with a Talmud Chacham? The fact is, a Mamzer plays no role at all. But what does it mean? That statement would be unnecessary if it wasn't for the fact that the Torah, that God took Torah, you see, took a Talmud Chacham and gave him a halachic position of Keser. You see? Exactly. That's why it says it's not just halacha. We're not concerned about who's better, the Mamzer or the Kohen Gadol. First of all, it's a simple answer. And secondly, it's God's concern. What do we have to be concerned about? What's it our business to evaluate people? You see. But it's a halacha that if there's a Mamzer Talmud Chacham, you must give him more cover. You're not allowed to do otherwise. You must give him more cover than the Kohen Gadol. If the Kohen Gadol is an ignoramus, you see? Why? Because Yadis took Torah and made a keser out of it. It's not just a personal thing. It made a keser out of it. An institution of keser. You see? Yeah. Exactly. Insofar as him being able to come in a kohol, that we can't allow. Because Allah has to work in objective ways, and it's lo yavo b'kal Hashem. But it's an interesting thing. This same Mamzer that's Lo Yavo B'Kal Hashem under one halacha must be treated with the greater covet. The Kohen Gadol is coming and the Mamzer Talmud Chacham is coming. Who goes first? Mamzer Talmud Chacham walks first. Because Torah is a keser. It's a personal, individual keser. It's a gift, but the halacha took Torah and gave it a din of a keser in the institution. He's not referring to perfection of the personal perfection. He's referring to the, insofar as the Ummah is concerned, yes. Shlosha Kesorim that we're speaking about is a different framework. It's in the framework not of personal perfection, but in the framework of the way God saw fit to establish the perpetuation, the demonstration of the ideas of Torah within the system, establish the system. Yes. So there is no Kesser Nevuah, because Nevuah is really a natural result, like the Rambam says in the Morah. When a person reaches a certain level of Torah, the Nevuah naturally ensues. Natural phenomenon. No, it's not a separate phenomenon. That's what I want to get started. Bring the Pasuk, you see, there's another question. Because if the Rambam was just discussing Torah on a personal level, there's no reason to bring the Pasuk. Like I told you, Palm Tech and Kulon. There's no reason to worry about the Pasuk. And what does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk says, Harei Omer, Bi Malachim Yim Lochu, V'roz Nim Yechokuk Yitzedek, Bi Sarim Yosharu. So what does it mean to say? It means to say that God, when he set up the system, that's the way he set it up. That's our halacha. So you have to have a pasuk for that. So the pasuk says that this is the way God wants the system to be. That's bim malachim yimlochu, yichoktu. So bim malachim yimlochu. So the thing is, so God set up the system precisely in that way. Only he can determine what's going to be the proper kesset that's going to reflect the ultimate kavod shemayim. You see. So you need a pasuk for that. Okay? All right. So that's basically the idea of the Ksar. That's basically a... I mean, how do you learn that out of this? All it says is, Bim Lachim Yim Lachu, so it's also a Kesar. Yeah? Bim Lachim Yim Lachu, the rose in Yechot Kutzedek, Bi Sorim Yeshov. Okay. So, Malachim Yim Lachu, rose in is Malchus. Sorim Yeshov is Kahuna. All the Mata Shekesar Torah Gadol Mashneim. What does it mean? What does it mean? In other words, what it means is that the Kesser Kahuna and the Kesser Malchus are both directed towards one thing. What is it? Kesser Torah. Exactly. Kesser Torah. It means there's no such thing. There are three Kesserim. Now, two of those Kesserim aren't complete. There's only one that has reached its objective. And that is what? Kesser Torah. The Kesser Malchus and the Kesser Kahuna are still lacking. There's no real satisfaction in Kesser Malchus and Kesser Kahuna because they're looking for something else. They're just pointing their finger towards another Kesser. What is that Kesser? That's the Kesser Torah. That's Bimalachim Yimlochu. You see, the Sar and the Shor. That there must be the B. And where is B? B is the Kesser Torah. That's the difference between that's what Ram says, Hola Marata, this teaches you that what? Shekesa Torah Gadol Mishneim. It's greater than both, because these two, that's their objective. The only one that's complete and doesn't have any goal beyond it is the Kesa Torah. Over here, what does the Memra say over here? The Memra of introduces a different idea. It says, Avol Keser Shem Tov, Keser Shem Tov Ola Al Gabbehem. What does it mean? The Keser Shem Tov Ola Al Gabbehem. And the Rambam says like this. The Rambam says, "Aval keser shem tov magia me'esa Torah. Ratzisi lo me yedi osav ha'maisa bo, ki bohen yagia ha'shem ha'tov ha'miti." So what does it mean? Keser shem tov, what does it mean? It means that we were almost right in upshot, but we made one mistake. Okay? That's what it means. What's the mistake that we made? We made one mistake. We said that the Kesser Torah doesn't look for anything beyond. Right? That was the mistake. What it means, Kesser Shem Tov Olal Gabeyan, means that the Kesser Torah is still searching for one more thing. It's searching for the Kesser Shem Tov. That's what it means. See, the Kesser Torah is like this. The Kesser Torah is the crown of the Talmud Chacham. Which means if the person he's a Gadol B'Torah. But a Gadol B'Torah, the Kesser Torah alone, is not enough. It must go beyond that. It must result in a Kesser Shem Tov. It's an interesting thing. Yuma Ayin Beis on Beis. Omar B'Yachin, Shlosh Yezerim Hei, Shal Mizbeach Crowns, Shal Oron V'Shal Shulchan, Shal Mizbeach Zoch Aron V'Not Lo, Shal Shulchan Zoch Adobu V'Not Lo, Shal Oron Adayim Munoch U'Kol Rots V'Likach Yalav V'Likach. Sing them on. Okay, now, then the Gemara says this, Rabbi Yochanan and Rami. Listen to this, I just didn't understand the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan and Rami, Ksiv, the Pasuk says like this, it says, Ksiv, Zor. The word Zer, which means a crown, is written Zion Resh. Vikarinin Zer, Zion Yud Resh. So really it's written Zor, but it says Zer. So what is it? Zocha nasa lo Zer. If the person was Zocha, so then it becomes a crown. Lo Zocha. He wasn't Zocha. On the contrary, nasa lo Zor. You see? Zorahimen. Becomes a strange form. The Torah becomes a strange form. It's an interesting thing. Amar Rav, the Gemara says. Amar Rav. Kol Talmud Chacham Shein Telcha Kabaro. Every Talmud Chacham who is not real internally as he presents himself externally. All right? Telcha Kabaro. Ain't no Talmud Chacham. He is not considered a Talmud Chacham. Even though he's a very learned person. Again, this is the part of Chazal that are critical even of the Talmud Chacham. The Gemara says like this. Amar Abaye Vitema Rabba Bar Ula Nikra Nisa. Nisav is considered an abomination. Shenema, afki nisav v'nelach ish shosa kamayim avla. So he's Rasha Shos Kamayim, he learns Torah, but he's an avla, he's corrupt. Okay? What does it mean? Oy lahem l'son eyem shel tamidei chachomim. She'oskim b'torah ve'ein b'hem yirashamayim. The person who knows the Torah doesn't have yirashamayim. Rashi says, he says like this. He says, the Gemara says, Machrez Rav Yana, Chova, al deles le darto v'taro le darte ovid. Person doesn't have a house, and he builds, at least to build an entrance, entrances, fancy entrances. You know? Like we see some of the tropical climates, like fancy archways. So there's woe unto a person that doesn't have a house and builds a fancy archway. You see? So Rashi explains, says, Shatora ein el ashar li konis bo li yiras shamayim. It's only a gate to enter into Yerushalayim. Lekach tzorech, it's interesting, Rashi. Lekach tzorech shetagdim lo Yerushalayim. It's almost a contradiction in Rashi. Rashi says, the Torah is only a shah to go into Yerushalayim. Therefore, we must have what must come first? Yerushalayim. Yeah, but you just told me it's a shah to get into Yerushalayim. So I can get into the positive circle of reasoning. You see? Oh, so what's the answer? What's the answer to that question? The answer of Chaim V'Lozny gave. The Chaim V'Lozny gave in the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim that there are two concepts of Yerushalayim. Mm-hmm. One concept of Yerushalayim is on a basic level. It's on a basic level. That means to say that on a basic level means that his purposes are for the Torah, so true purposes. But there's another Yerushalayim. The other Yerushalayim is where a person, what the Rambam talks about in the beginning of Yisod HaTorah, which is a Yerushalayim that is not an external thing. The first kind of Yerushalayim is an external thing. It's Torah, he has to have Yerushalayim, and it's his basis. But the second Yerushalayim is something that results from seeing Chochmas Hashem. It's a different kind of Yerushalayim. It means he's in a different state. His relationship with God has changed. You see? It's a natural state. The first one is an imposed state. The second one is a natural state. Naturally results from perception of Chochmas. That's what Rashi means. You see, Rashi means that it's impossible to understand Rashi otherwise. So Rashi like this. Rashi says, Shatora ein el ashar li konis bo Yerushalayim. What does it mean? Which Yerushalayim is he referring to? He's referring to the Yerushalayim the Rambam talks about. When a person says Chachmas Hashem, it's an awe. You see? He said, Lekach tzorach shetagdim lo Yerushalayim. That's why the other Yerushalayim must come first. Because if it doesn't, it's impossible for him to attain it later. Because his motivations are corrupt. He's not going to be able to get to it. You see? Okay, so Amalu Rav Rabbanan Bim Tusa Minaychu Lo Tirsun Tarte Gehenna. He says, I'm asking if you shouldn't be like those that inherit two Gehennas. Why? Rios Yegeim Vamelim Batorah Bala Mazeh, because you're going to be working in Torah in this world. Velo Tekai Muha, and he's going to come out that you're not going to be kind of Torah. He says, V'tirshu Gehenna B'moschem. He says you're going to get Gehenim after you die. U'b'chayeichem lo nehenesem ba'olamchem. And during your lifetime, you didn't gain anything from this world. So you lost both worlds. You see? You lost both worlds. It means, you see? It's an interesting thing. So somebody could ask me a question. Why did they lose both worlds? I'll tell you, they didn't lose both worlds. They learned. Don't we say the learning is very enjoyable? As you say, the greatest enjoyment. Ein simcha Ramban says katarsa sveikus. Knowledge is the greatest symptom. So why did they lose both worlds? On the contrary, they had this world. You see, they have this worldly, they have the greater enjoyment. The learning Torah is a greater enjoyment than any physical enjoyment. Okay? The answer is that Kiyomat Torah is a natural result of a person whose mind is open to appreciation of the Chokhmah of Torah. It's impossible. The person appreciates Chokhmah of Torah. It's impossible that Kiyom shouldn't follow. Godel Limud Shemevil Demais is a natural thing. The only time it will not happen is if the person is basically corrupt. If the person is basically corrupt, then his limud can't be lishma. It's impossible to have a person that's learning Torah lishma and is not being kind mitzvah. There's no such phenomenon like that. A person can be a lomei Torah and not be a kind mitzvah. There's a lomei venosa. We know, as all mentioned, it's right. But then the lomei can't be the appreciation of chachma. So he can't, the enjoyment of chachma, the reason why we say that chachma is a greater enjoyment than the material, it means that appreciation of the beauty of chachma. If a person doesn't have that appreciation, then on the contrary, it's burdensome. He has to rack his brain. He has to rack his brain to work out an answer. He's just trying to get the answer, not because he really wants the appreciation, because of some ulterior motive. You see? So that's what the Gemara says. The tirish tati gehenim. You have two hells. One hell in this world because he didn't enjoy this world, and the other one when you get there. So it comes out that you lost at both worlds. You see, the Chazal maintained that there's such a thing as Olam Hazeh too. Because he told him, he says, don't be like those that lose both. Which means to say that a person is better off if he was telling them, he's better off at least to the guy of this world. What's the word Rashi say? He says, at least the guy that has this world, at least he's somewhat of a Baal Seichel, at least he had something. It's also here. it's an interesting piece of Musa. You see, the Musa of Chazal is that a person should live the Derech Sechel. That's the Musa of Chazal. That's why he told him, he said, a person is better off at least having Olam Hazeh. It's also a reality. The Musa of Chazal is reality. So don't lose both. Even if a person has this world, he's better off than a person that's a corrupt individual and involves himself in the Talmud Torah for base motives, in which case he has nothing. Okay? So, Omar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, my dechsi v'zos ha-Torah asher sam Moshe, zocha, what is asher sam Moshe? So the Gemara says, yes. Zocha nasa lo samchaim. If the man is zocha, so then he becomes a potion of life. Lo zocha. Nasa lo sam misa. It destroys him. It destroys him. Why is it a sam misa? Sam misa is for two reasons. First of all, because he's not gaining the benefit of the enjoyment of Torah. That's number one. But it becomes a sam misa for another reason. Because it's something, if a person is a low-made Torah, you see, there's another aspect. There's another Gehenna involved there. A person is a low-made Torah and he's not an osam. He knows that it's right. You see, it has to destroy. It has to eat him up. Because one part of him is telling him that this is the right thing, and the other part is not going along, it means that he's in constant strife. You see? That's why the Gemara says, Lo zocha nasa lo samo medas. Lo zocha nasa lo samo medas. That was the story one time I mentioned about the Rav. The Rav was in the university, and he went to see one of his professors, and the professor was sitting and learning. This guy was not Bikaris. So he said, how come you're sitting there? He's a great mathematician. So he was supposed to, he was Einstein's right hand man. He used to do the mathematics. So he said, it's all your grandfather's fault. He said, he destroyed me. He said, because I learned Torah by him and I never saw such chachma, and I do not live according to the Torah, he says, and every night I must sit down and learn and go over the concepts. See, that's lo zocha, nasa lo sama medes. Killed him because he saw the beauty and he was living an opposite life. So it's torture. The person living in such a state, he's probably still a conflict. Rava, it says, the Uman Lo Samo the Chaya, the low Uman Lo Samo the most. Okay, same thing. I'm Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmeni, Rabbi Yenison Rami. Siv Pekudi Hashem Yisam Yisam Chalei, Vipsiv Yemes Hashem Tzrufa, Zocha Mesam Chasa. The person is Zocha Pekaya, makes him happy. See? Lo Zocha Tzofasa. If he wasn't Zocha, if the Torah is not incorporated as a part of his perfection, it's more. So then it's Tzofasa. It tortures him. Burns him up in Yisurim. Again. Okay. So why, I was wondering, when I took a look at this Gemara, because what does this have to do with Bishlosh Ksar? The Gemara starts off with Kishlosh Iksor, and then the Gemara goes on to this whole thing. What's the answer? The answer is an interesting thing. You see? The answer is that when the Chazal say Keser Torah, what do they mean? What do they mean by Keser Torah? Keser Torah means the knowledge of Torah. The knowledge of Torah. The knowledge of Torah. That's what it means. Now, just like Keser Torah. Keser Torah means the fact that the Torah does the whole thing. That's the Keser Torah. We don't go beyond that. Too. Keser Torah is the Keser of the Talmud Chacham, the sharp Talmud Chacham that knows Torah. Okay? But then he says like this. The Keser Shein Tov Olah Gabeya. That this Keser Torah is not the end of the line. On the contrary, this Keser Torah, its objective is the Keser Shein Tov. What is the Keser Shein Tov? The Keser Shein Tov means the truly perfected individual that has taken the Torah and has incorporated it into himself so that he became really, truly perfected. That's the Keser Shein Tov. Olah Gabeya. It means to say, the Shein Tov, why is it a Shein Tov? The reason why it says Shein Tov is because a person that is the truly perfected individual has overcome all the base emotions that cause struggles between human beings. Because people struggle and people are in conflict only because of nonsensical reasons. Even great governments are basically in debate over nonsense. Silly, petty emotions are involved. Even on the highest political level, basically petty emotions. So the other one says, Tamid Chacham Marim Shalom. Why? Because the Talmud Chacham is the one that's removed from all the pettiness. And he's the one that has the true Shein Tov, because people recognize the true Shein Tov Amiti, not the one that's looking for fame, looking to be a famous person. But the Shein Tov Amiti means from his, those who recognize him, that is the real Shein Tov. Because this is an individual who's recognized because of his true perfection, not because of an exterior surface that he presents. That's what it means. So what Chazal mean like this? Chazal mean that they're three kesarim. They're three kesarim. But every keser really, first of all, the two kesarim are really pointing towards keser Torah, because it's chachma. And the ultimate keser is what? The ultimate keser is the perfection. That is the ultimate keser which can bring about, to the highest degree, the objective of sinai. That's the keser Shein Tov. Keser Shein Tov, of course, meaning. It's not Shein Tov, you can't, that's why the Rambam says Shein Tov.
You should make sure to live in a place where there's a lot of Torah. The Chachamim Merubim, and many Chachamim. It's not a halacha. It's not a halacha that five of them love the Mokum Torah. A person living in a place where there's a lot of Torah, you can't say he's over in Avera. But it means to say, insofar as the Talmud Torah itself, Talmud Torah itself, there's two levels of Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah like the Rambam. Talmud Torah where there's a mice on mitzvah Talmud Torah, and then there's Talmud Torah which involves in the Seus Aleph. The Seus Aleph means a certain perfection. Where a person is really interested in gaining knowledge of Torah, that's a different level of perfection. It requires a certain Seus Aleph. So far as the Seus Aleph is concerned, the tomb of Talmud Torah, the Tanusa, that requires Golo and Kempo. That requires certain perfection. Certain perfection. And these are the midos that are necessary in order to have that perfection. So one of them is to travel, to live in a place of Chacham. See, Rashi, our appears in Rashi, seems to resolve everything around the Ra. Bal Toma, she tova acharefa, yova lakan, the elmo, the lefon. Funny kind of a shot. The difficulty in the memory is the Al Toma, she tova acharefa. What does it mean, Al Toma, she tova acharefa? Shouldn't say what? It's going to come after me, or it's going to come after me. What does that mean? So Rashi says, you shouldn't say yova lakan, the elmo, the lefon. I mean, it's a funny kind of a statement. I mean, you should go to a place of Rebbe. You shouldn't say the Rebbe should come here. And he's not going to come here. So if he's going to come there, so there's no reason to go there. If he's not going to come there, so what is it? Into Rashi, everything revolves around the rock. Because he says like this. He says, "Val Toma he tava for Hashachavercha yikayimua biyadecha." What does he say? Hashachavercha yikayimua biyadecha. This is Rashi. Shekol speikos sheyesh lecha yomer. Yeah, that's the first one. In other words, Shechavercha Yikayimuhu Biyadecha means like this. It means that you won't personally have any communication with the Rav, but your Chaverim will come and they will be able to resolve your status because they learn by the Rav. Okay, it's not the same thing. The third part. And the fourth part is Rabbi Moskal Kishon. Give me a lawyer on your own question. So there Rashi again goes on the rock. He says, "I'll call my itself the luck of the rock. I know me atzmi lachol mi leved lo umka. I can learn myself. I can learn on my own. I don't have to go there. I don't have to go there. I can learn on my own." You shouldn't say that. Lo tishin al kaverchah shehofer lumo ki yavol v'yilam ducha. Ki ato ba'atzmacha tzorach liglos imoim. V'lmer dofak harei atzorach. And fits of a dance also. So whatever they gained already, so I'll see what they gained and I'll learn from them. Okay, that's more of a rational kind of approach. The benefit of the Talmud received, that my father received, so I'll learn from the benefit that he received, and via him, I could transfer the knowledge of the Rav via my father. I'll find out what's going on over there. What happened over there? Last thing, he gained, so I'll make the same gains from him. He says, no, can't do that. He sort of switches gears. He should say like this. He should say that you really can't gain from your father, because you yourself have to be involved directly with the record. It's not the same thing. And he says, no. He says, because you have to learn. He says, you yourself have to be gola, and run after the Torah, if you want to know. And it seems to find an ethical value. An ethical concept. It's not a concept of that you can't transfer the knowledge via your chacham. Via your chacham. What does it mean, the concept of an ethical? What does this require of a man? Well, it's an interesting thing. He doesn't say you can't rely on a chaverim because of any kinds of... I mean, it's much. If it works, if it does work, that the chaverim can transfer their knowledge that they've gained to you, in which case it would be just as if you yourself went. So then, it's fine. So why do you have to run? What if you run? Elamah, it's not true. You can't gain from the chaver. What he gained is a personal gain. It's not transferable. So if it's not transferable, so that should be the problem. It's not transferable. What he means to say is like this. You see, what he means to say is like this. He means, what he's saying is like this. He doesn't even counter the argument there. He doesn't even discuss the question of whether you can gain from your chaver is already gained. If you learn by yourself, everybody knows there's nonsense. You can't learn by yourself. That's really basically what Rashi, the plain chat Rashi is trying to, according to Rashi, he's trying to say that a person has a certain narcissistic desire that he doesn't want to believe that he is dependent. He wants to be self-contained. The person has that kind of emotion. People have that kind of emotion. The person doesn't want to feel that he lacks. See, that's a difficult thing. Because in most cases, the reason why people find, what people are searching for, is a certain ultimate narcissistic state. That's basically what people are searching for in the back of their minds. Very powerful drug. Be in a certain narcissistic state where you don't need anybody. Even knowledge, desire for knowledge itself, that desire itself has a lot of the carries with it, a lot of its motivator, a lot. By a certain attraction of knowledge, is a certain ultimate narcissistic state. It would be a great fucking, and you don't need anybody. The fucking itself really carries with it the greatest narcissistic desire. That's the nature, that's a very powerful motivation in a person's desire for learning. He wants to be self-sufficient, he wants to be a fucking. So he wants to be able to be on his own and not require anybody. So that's why it says no, on the contrary, point to that. You have to be careful with this emotion. It's a very powerful emotion too. But they want to be able to... It is true that a chacham is the most self-sufficient. But nevertheless, any chacham that is looking for that satisfaction of emotion, that he wants to be self-sufficient, can't really be a chacham. Because it's an impossibility, because it requires the rock. And without the rav, he can't possibly really become a Talmud Chacham. I know of certain people, a lot of times in yeshivas you find a lot of those types. A certain type that, they learn. I mean, they learn. They involve themselves in learning. They learn many hours. But they want to learn on their own. They don't go to shiurim, they don't learn the Kavrusa and Yeshiva, they like to learn in the room, learn in their own place, or on the side of the Kavrusa, and that's it. It's a certain kind of narcissistic emotion. It's a very powerful emotion. And many people, for that reason, can't really take on a Rebbe. Because a Rebbe is a contradiction. A Rebbe, you want to take on a Rebbe, you need to say, you have to admit that you're lacking knowledge. It's difficult, it's a very difficult thing. It's a very powerful emotion. According to Rashi, the whole memory is directed against that emotion. That's the essence of the man. That's the essence of the man. The person usually a person that does that, usually in his mind, what is foremost in his mind, he looks at the mitzvah of Talmud Torah like any other mitzvah. The mitzvah is a field, so that he's looking for a certain comfort, a certain religious comfort, in which he gains. And then I'm happy I'm learning and involved and doing and keeping the mitzvahs in a certain narcissistic state. You find it many times among the yeshiva people. Find something. And so the chavrusa on the side. And that's it. They tie the mitzvah and they don't get it. They're over the first thing they do. I think that's what he means. He says, Va'al koma shi tovo acharecha yovo l'kan v'almar l'kan. He says, look, I'm not saying that if he was here, I'd learn here, but he's not here, so I'm doing what I can do. It's a certain kind of a narcissistic attitude. Yovel Lakon means I don't have to uproot myself. There shouldn't be any break in my own narcissistic state. So Yovel Lakon means I can't make any changes in my own situation. I can't admit that I have to have a, break my own comfortable situation in order to go somewhere else. He comes here, I don't know, but this is... I'm the center. I'm the center, and that's it. I'm comfortable and satisfied with myself. It's hard to describe, but it's a certain emotional attitude, a certain narcissistic attitude. According to Rashi, the whole menu is to teach you to warn a person against that narcissistic attitude. Okay? Feel very self-satisfied. You're looking for a certain feeling of self-satisfaction. Torah can give you. Talmud Chacham can't have that. That emotion is not going to take a person very far. Because he can't learn by Rebbe, which is the most important thing. And he gets a certain degree of knowledge, but he can't go beyond a certain point. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, that's a different one. Rabbeinu Yonah says that Chavayecha Yitainu will be a death. And what does it mean? So the point of being an answer is like this. Now Thomas she told off a refresh that the refresh can move your death off is one statement. That's one component. And he shouldn't say that how will I, it'll come after me. Why? Because my chaverim left home, so they want to learn. When they come back, so I'll have communication with them, and through that I'll be able to gain a vegan. So he says like this. He doesn't argue down the fact, you see. But he says like this. What he's saying is that in order to become a Talmud Chacham, it requires a certain attitude. What is the attitude? The attitude is that the man is running after Chacham. That's the attitude. The man is running after Chacham. Okay? So therefore, it means like this. It means that any cheshbonos that a person makes in terms of how much he will gain from learning, like a plan, is something which is really contrary to learning itself. An interesting thing. Because in every other endeavor, a person goes to a business endeavor, so he has to make plans. So he has to make rational plans. The plan is, how am I best going to succeed in business? If I do this, if I do that, and economizes on the time and the investments, it works without rational. When it comes to telling a thing like this, it means like this. It means the moment you make a plan that you're going to gain the same thing, he doesn't argue whether the plan is right or wrong. Obviously, there's something wrong with it, but he doesn't care about that. What he's saying is like this. He's saying that kind of a plan itself, if you could plan about that, that itself is the destruction of your real gain and learning. Your professional learning. Because a person that has a love of the knowledge itself is drawn to the Makam Rav HaMakom. He's drawn there. Because he knows that this is the place where he'll be able to have communication with all the great situations of Chacham. So a person who makes a cheshbon in terms of his how much he's going to gain in learning, that cheshbon itself is a violation of what's really necessary in order to bring them to the highest level of contact. There can't be any plan, because it's obvious to anyone that has a love for a subject that he is going to place himself in a situation where he has all the chachamim that are involved in the subject. That's the place to be. You see, there's no question about it. Once he says, look, I'll gain just as much because I'll be able to debrief my chaverim and gain from them everything that they've gained, you see. But that already means that he's lacking an attraction to the world. There's something lacking in his inherent attraction. That's the way I've been around. That's why he says, Yato ba'atzma chatzor liglos imuhem v'lirdocha chorechor in tirtzel adasa. So the mere setting up of a plan is a path of the sasra to the results. I'll never be able to gain those results. That's what I've been doing. This really has a practical application too, like in methodology. You notice that some people are very concerned about methodology. They just want to master the methodology. The desire to master the methodology is very nice, but it also lacks. It also displays a certain lack, because that again is based upon a certain narcissistic desire. He's looking for a certain narcissistic desire to be satisfied, which is that he wants to get the methods of any self-profession. That's it. A person that has a love of the subject itself, of course, he's interested in methodology, but he's not interested in methodology per se. He's really attracted to the ideas and to the subject. And that, the interest in methodology stands really in opposition to the natural attraction that a person has to the subject. It's an interesting thing, it's an amazing thing, but the truth of the matter is that a person that has the interest in methodology will have to lose out, because there is a certain growth in learning that is based upon the natural attraction and love of the area, which simply no amount of methodology could ever duplicate that. because that's basically what he's talking about. What does he mean, Shechaver, Fekai, maybe Refa? It means methodology. I mean, methodology for them. They went, they got the method, so I'm using them. What's wrong with it? Can't do it for somebody else? The answer is, whether it's exactly the same or not is a separate issue. But basically, the plan is sounds like a sound one, a sound plan. Why? Because you can gain, you can go to your chav and say, well, what was the method you had? Well, yeah, you can. But the point is, then the person is only, then it shows that the person's interest is only in mastering methodology. And the interest in mastering methodology is based upon a narcissistic desire, not upon the real objective love of the subject itself. And because it's not based on the love of the subject itself, strangely enough, he could never really reach certain heights in life. Because certain heights in learning are totally dependent upon the inherent love of the subject itself. And no amount of methodology could ever make up for that, that inherent desire. So you see that the narcissistic desire stands in opposition to the natural appreciation of fact. There has to be a natural appreciation of fact, which really, really propels a person forward. If it's methodology per se, it's just a narcissistic thing. That's always interesting. You should be self-sufficient, be able to do everything on his own. So it doesn't display a real love of learning. Real love of learning means the person. If the person's real love of learning, he's drawn naturally to the place of home. That's the natural atmosphere. If he's not drawn to that atmosphere, then there's something else. Something else. It's just a matter of, it's a business kind of practical and business kind of attitude that he has with respect to himself. And that's not what he's doing. Can't work in common prayer. Yes, the nature of common prayer is such that the methods of acquisition can never be the same as you would in any other sphere, in the practical sphere, because it's not practical in nature. But it's a different nature. That's so the question is, in other words, how can the person improve himself? How can the person improve himself? Yeah. The Rabbanian is really talking about methodology. That's the idea. It means that if a will come back, I'll play the methods of them. We gain the same methods. We have to go this way. He got it. He has it. What do you do? What's wrong? And in terms of method, it's difficult to argue it down, really, when you think about it. Because when I talk about a chava that doesn't know anything, we're talking about a chava that's an intelligent chava. So it means he went to the yeshivas and he learned the methodology. Now, does he know it or not? If he doesn't know it, he's not a chava. He knows it. So why can't he transfer it to you? It's a good argument. Why can't he transfer it to you? The answer is he can transfer all the methodology to you, and he can transfer it to you. But he can't transfer one thing. The inherent love of the subject matter. That he can't transfer. But now Richard Bohr is asking, what's the advice? What's a person who's caught up in this emotion? That he wants to protect himself by protecting his methodology. So what does he do? I think the answer is simple. First of all, Yadav's always over this. Yadav always maintains that a person should never cater to an emotion. No matter how powerful it is, and no matter how painful it is, you're not satisfied. That's the first piece. First one. No doubt, that's the most difficult advice I ever give. No matter how powerful the emotion pulls, a person should know that if he follows that path, he's doomed. It may be very painful not to follow it, but to follow it is totally destructive. Let's say a person is drawn by the tigers. So he should realize that insofar as, like they always say, a person is always make a judgment in terms of how much a real chacham makes a judgment in terms of how much a nos olam hazeh is going to take. Because if he takes more than he needs, he's really cheating himself in terms of the amount of energy that he's losing. To involve himself in learning. People don't even think that way. You think that the contrary. If he doesn't have this, doesn't satisfy this tithe, this inari, it's a loss. And he always thinks to himself, oh, I have to satisfy that inari and learn also. The contrary, better from my learning. Or the rationalization. But a real chacham is very careful, because insofar as he partakes of an asal and has an excess of what he needs, he's losing really olam haba, and he's losing the essence of life. So opinion on most involved chacham. That's what it is. So it means that before they engage in any type of anu'a solo mazeh, They must make a chesed. It looks like an apparent gain could be a serious loss. So this requires a tremendous ability for a person to moshe al b'yitzro. That's why they call it moshe al b'yitzro. Moshe al b'yitzro means it's very painful not to follow that taiva. And the person who desires to rationalize that involvement in this taiva is not going to really rob him of the chaye mitzvi is very powerful. But a person that's emotional b'yitzro demands that the person not follow that path which seems so pleasurable, no matter how painful it is to abstain. So firstly, you must say over here that principle, that a person must actually remove himself. If he has this emotion, he must go with him up and tell him. If he stays in that situation and follows that emotion, he's doomed. No matter how painful it is, he must do the action if it's correct. Then at least he has a chance, because the battle's still on. He's not satisfying that emotion. So number one, he has to be free from satisfying that emotion. And then the second thing is, the second advice is that he should come to the realization of what his motivation in staying back and not being goal of the Torah is. That realization can open up many doors in which he can gain knowledge of his own nature and be able to uproot in specific knowledge, that's again a specific knowledge, and be able to uproot that emotion. In other words, the pain is really pain. It's like Aristotle says, pain is a wonderful thing, because pain really alerts a person that there's something wrong, and that's really one of the benefits of the halachic system. That's one of the biggest benefits of the halachic system. The halachic system is an unbelievable barometer, because the halachic system is such that every time a person, when he's involved in the halachic system, if he notices that certain halachas are difficult, they go against his grain, it's difficult to keep. You see, the system is so all-inclusive that if a person naturally enjoys halacha, then he's in a state of perfection. But if there are halachas that go against his grain, that is the first sign that there's something that must be investigated. So the psychological pain that a person perceives because of the halachic system is really the most important sign to alert him. The fact that he has to investigate himself and set himself right, that he's seeming professional. So the goal of the advice that Chazal gives, the goal of the Mokhan Torah, and Chum Torah, it means to say that when a person reads that advice, he senses that it goes against him, that this is where it should alert him to the fact that there's something wrong, and he has to pursue an investigation of his own nature to be able to understand why it is that he has this imperfection. First, he has to become alerted to the fact that he has no perfection. He never learns that fact, he's completely blind. And once he's alerted, then it's very painful. But that pain should really be something which propels him towards an understanding and towards an uprooting of the imperfection. That's really the method of Chazal. Chazal can't go into and take the others into the particulars of each individual cycle. But what it can do is alert the person to something wrong, and therefore the person has to start making his own investigation through his attitudes towards Torah. And it should be, that's the wrong attitude. That's the correct attitude. That's to make that correct. The Rambam seems to say also, let's take a look at the Rambam. What does the Rambam say about the Rambam? The Rambam says, a on your gimelosi gimel, right? Let me see, I have it over here. Omar, Takesh Makom Halimud, Lefish Emacherin is Baraloch Halimud Yeskaya, Val Tismoch Al Havanaska, the Toma, and the Tzorah Pachaverin. And the Tzorah Pachaverin, I think it's working, everything is working about. The Toma, Sheincha Tzorah Pachaverin, and the Talmudim Shei Oruch. Okay? The way it's really written to these is makes more sense. Thomas saying, Chatzor ha-chaverim ul-talmidim shi ha-rucha. But stop it, though. What else is he chaverim ul-talmidim? You shouldn't say that I only chaverim ul-talmidim in order to arouse me intellectually. Okay? To give me the stimulus. Why? Because I can do it myself. I can do it myself. So it's against the narcissistic emotion. That's what he said. So he basically runs like Rashi. But according to Rashi, Ram is basically just telling you that Masasdash is not it's not that clean. According to the Rabbeinu Yonah, it's something more. It means to say that a person's gain in learning is directly proportional to his... in order to gain learning, you have to work with the natural desire for knowledge of the subject. That's why I said you shouldn't have a desire to miss as much dark. Sure. But it shouldn't be out of proportion. It has to be within a certain frame. The mastery of the methodology has to be because of the fact that the person has to be tied to the person's desire of the knowledge of the subject. If it becomes an end in itself, then the person really can't go very far beyond the subject. I think that it is more of a subtle point. More of a subtle point in the same idea. But what does the person really want? Of methodology basically is because of a certain narcissistic attitude. It's two aspects of this. It's not a machlokes. It's two aspects of the same idea. So there's two different things. But then the end is more of a subtle aspect. Yeah. Well, the reason is very simple. The reason is because the narcissist really wants to be self-contained, so to speak. Wants to be self-contained. If you mean, and the love of chokhmah is really the love of something external to the self. So it goes in opposite directions. Although the love of chokhmah is the attraction to something that's outside of the self. The narcissistic desire is an attraction to something within the self. It's a different, goes in totally different directions. The person, I'm not trying to minimize the importance of the mystery of the methodology. I'm just saying that it shouldn't be fueled by the narcissistic desire. It should be fueled by a desire to understand the half to the English methodology in order to gain knowledge of self. But if it becomes an ending itself, then it's nothing more than another narcissistic conquest. Mm-hmm. And then, and the point is, a person can never, as long as a person is attached to that alone, he can never really make any strides. He can't. At a certain point, all methodology can really do for you is show you the proper steps and show you what to make a lot of the law. But it's not going to uncover, it's going to teach you how to uncover great ideas. Okay? The only thing that can teach you that is, the nature of man to appreciate something totally outside of himself. And when he appreciates that something that's outside of himself, on the contrary, has no reflection on himself. It doesn't matter if it was his idea or somebody else's idea, there's the same enjoyment to the idea. The idea itself is subordinated to the idea. That's the state of man. In order to reach perfection, there are many different levels, you know? And the first thing I think a person does, and he has to do it really, that's what Rousseau Solanka said, and he's right. Lo'olam yomar olam tarah shalol l'shmo. Lo'olam yomar olam tarah shalol l'shmo. The first transition has to be broken. It must be broken. So the point is that you attach all the ideas, all the emotions that you have towards the regular world, until the outside world, so the practical world attached to learning. That becomes the area that your narcissistic fulfillment is going to take place. In this area, you're attracted to because of that. But you have to shift gears. That's the point. If you don't shift gears, you just remain with that, you really can't get too far. The last part of the memory is like this. The last part of the memory is, the El Binosfa Al Tishu. You shouldn't rely on your own knowledge. shouldn't rely on that. So according to the Rambam, we're all fixing the same thing. We shouldn't rely on that. Okay. Just according to the Rambam, it's one exhortation. But the exhortation has different forms. And we go Lumkom Torah, Alkom Shavarashek of Ephkimak of the Defo, Rabbi Nasval Kishan. So emphasizing this different aspects of this emotion. Different aspects of this emotion. Okay? Even if you go to Lumkom Torah. So the problem is it's still not over. Because you could still have, you could still be in a Makom Torah and you still say that that you still won't realize fully how much you're dependent upon the Isolus of Chavayim and Talmudim. If you don't have that, if you don't really go to Makom Torah, first step. But now there's a certain, you can still maintain an attitude that you're independent. Okay? And even if you recognize that, then there's a third problem, as I'll be lost for Al-Kishan. You shouldn't rely on your, you shouldn't satisfy that narcissistic desire that your own knowledge is the center of your life. So you have to realize that you require constant disowness from the outside in order to gain it. You can't feel that you can sit down and learn by yourself, ever, at any time. A person can never feel that he can sit down and learn by himself and that's self-sufficient. You know such thing as self-sufficient in you. Because the most important idea can occur just because you're having a conversation with somebody at another point, which you really think of, because the person's mind is very individual, and one individual thinks of an idea and everyone thinks along one way, and somebody else has an idea, but he can't see. I don't think he's smarter than the other person. Doesn't necessarily mean that because you're more intelligent than another person, that you will see all the ideas that come to his mind. No such thing. So therefore, that's why we must follow Krishna. Don't think that you're such a great chacham, no matter how great a chacham you are, you can never find yourself in a situation that an idea that a chava, or even a talmud, comes up with, is not something that you would have thought of yourself. There's no such thing. The greatest talmud chacham can miss a point. And a small talmud is not nearly as great as the talmud chacham. You think at this point, which he never thought about. And if he's honest with it, and he's safe, and that's it. He missed the boat. So the Rabbi Nasval Kishan means that a person can never, ever in meaning have that feeling of self-sufficiency. The person does, it moves all out of people's souls. That's not a violation of Rabbi Nasval Kishan. The person has to make a decision. Moshe has to decide which idea is right. So, of course, you have to make a decision. But to think that you can learn a subject and that you're on a level where you can learn a subject, that's why there's no such thing as a lecture. Because a lecture implies that the professor has all the knowledge. Right? There's no such thing. Because the person who's been minded here can find out very quickly that he's off on a long track. And a Talmud is not, it doesn't even come near him in terms of the level of learning, could have the right idea. That's where I'm here, that's why it says, I'll be nice about this thing. Do you your own in-depth analysis? Don't rely on your own analysis. You can't feel self-sufficient about your analysis. If you do, then you're not really that's the meaning. He says, I'll be nice about this issue, kiss my house for Rosca. That's different. What he means to say is, he means that a lot of times a person will refrain from asking an eitzah from a chacham. Because he'll feel, look, I have the knowledge, and that's it. So a person will rationalize. Sometimes, of course, he doesn't have to. If he really knows it's clear cut, then there's no reason to go ask a chacham than he does. But it means to say that there is a point where a lot of times a person will rationalize and say that, look, I don't have to ask you to come by. It just makes sense to me. That's it. Now, there'll be no small question. He says, Shalote otsa lisho bedova pomasa belitva. Then he says, yeah. Then no, the person shouldn't feel, he shouldn't come to the conclusion. He doesn't have to ask on this point. If, in fact, there really is reason to discuss the point. You shouldn't feel self-satisfied. And it says like this. Elahat oznecha l'shmoa kol mitir. He says that what you should do is listen to everything from the words of the Chacham. V'achakach Hovin bit Chivosa. And after that, listen to his Chiva, Kiranini, Hans, Va'achakach, Sass. It is an important number. Hans, Hans, Va'achakach, Sass. Means what doesn't mean. Here's the thing. Hans, Va'achakach, Sass. It means like this. It means that that's really a part of gaining the knowledge of learning. It means a lot of times a person can't be yore yourself daika, so rather. A person may not be able to understand fully what his Rebbe is saying, or why his Rebbe says a certain thing. So there must be a certain tolerance. There must be a certain tolerance, rather, which is a has. Has means you don't fully understand it, but listen. In other words, there is a person, it's a very important point. It's an important point in learning, in learning from a Rebbe. He used to say like this, that a person that learns from a Rebbe can't expect the Rebbe to explain every single point to him, that it should be perfectly clear exactly what the Svara is, and why he himself would say that Svara, would agree with that Svara. There's a certain concept of Has. Has means that he may not fully understand it, but he has to accept it. He has to accept it nevertheless. And it has to revolve around in his mind, stays in his mind, revolves around in his mind, and one day it'll become clear. You see? That's the halacha of Has. That's the halacha of Has. It doesn't mean to say that a person shouldn't try to gain as much knowledge as he can in understanding the sugya from the grave. But it means that there is a certain point in learning where an individual might not be able to be yore himself daika for rabba. Can't really understand that. Understand. That requires the has. He accepts it, and he doesn't fully understand it. What is lacking is usually it's not a matter of a logical. See, some people think that everything could be broken down to logical terms. It can't. So therefore, when they go to a shiur, what they want is that the Rebbe should break down everything to logical steps. Logical steps, they'll understand everything. Just like he knows, exactly the same way. You can't do it. Because there's a certain intuition in the fact that a person cannot have until he reaches a certain level. Which means to say that at a certain point, he can't possibly ask the Rebbe, like, understand exactly every aspect of why his Rebbe said this, that, and that, and another thing. Why does it have to be this way? He can't do it. That's a lacha of Has. He has to follow, rely on the Chacham's intuition, and then it'll become clear to him, as he gains, it'll become clear to him. But everything can't always be explained, broken down into these complete logical categories. That's not the way it works. You can't do it. So you have to maintain in your mind a certain amount of ideas that are like that germinate and incubate in your mind, and they will develop into an understanding. But you must be able to tolerate that kind of a state of mind in order to gain one. That's Has Rach Kachsas. Sass means to be kotek, means to chop, means to be, yeah, right. That's the person who really understands exactly what it is. But there's two things. There's the intuition, there's the logical format and methodology, and then there's the intellectual intuition. Right, Richard is right when he says that the methodology, if you have a good person, will come through, but the intuition, you need to filter out. That could be in the presence of the person to watch and to observe the intuition. See how it works. But the thing is that, you see, just giving the shiur itself, a Talmud and a Rebbe are working on a piece of Torah together, are not exactly on the same plane. But the point is like this. In one sense, they are. When it comes to arguing and debating whether it's false, correct, or incorrect, they're on the same plane. You can't get any. You can't give any preference to the Rebbe, because there's a Rebbe, and he's equal. As far as making sense, it doesn't matter who's far is. Okay, so in that sense, the Talmud and the Rebbe are on the same point. And they're functioning on the same point. But there is another plane which they're not functioning in the same way, and that is in terms of investigation. Because really, when you open up a Gemara, when you open up a Sugya, it means you're opening up an area for investigation. Now, there's such a thing as a guide. A guide means a person who knows which course to take, which course to explore. There's an exploration process in that. Now, which course to explore cannot be explained logically. You have many a person who you're going out on an adventure, and you have to know, the experienced guide knows exactly certain signs, and he knows, he has an intuition about where to go. You see? Where to go. Exactly. It's based on his total, that's based on his total knowledge. There's certain intuition. So in that sense, the one who is the Rebbe and the one who is the Talmud are not on an equal plane. Because the idea of a person that's giving the shiur means that he's setting forth the areas of exploration. I'll give you an example. You open the sugya, you have a lot of characters. That's 10 questions. I didn't know which one to pursue. You came to the Talmud, I go, well, what do you mean? Let's pursue this question. Look at this. There's no way that you could prove, that the Rebbe could prove which area is going to reap the most benefit, which question is going to follow, which trail to follow that's going to uncover the greatest amount of knowledge. There's no way to prove it. Mm-hmm. So that is the, in that area, whenever a person is giving a shiur, it means that he is the one that's guiding the expedition. He's the guide of the expedition. In that sense, the Talmud and Rebbe are not equal. That's how. Otherwise, I mean, the Talmud, of course, I mean, to give his own shiur, but that's a different way. There's a Magid shiur is a certain position. He has a certain role. And the role in exploring the sugya is that he has the right to determine which path to take. Could be the wrong path, yes, he says. But he is the one that determines who makes the move and which direction to go in order to explore the problem. That's dependent upon the person's that's something which no methodology can really teach. I don't think from an intuition in terms of the subject. That's being involved in those expeditions, and being knowledge of how to do it himself. But that area cannot be done over like that. It's a matter of experience and going on. He goes like this, Rabbiana Yomer, India Dana. Lo mishalva sarishoyim va'af lo minisir ha'kadishim. The claim says we don't experience the shalva sarishoyim, which means the good life of the sarishoyim, and we don't experience the yisurim of the tzaddikim. Because God brings peace to the Russia, and according to the Russia, in this world, they should yitu chalto v'chelet ha'tzadik b'gehenna. While a tzaddik may be Yisurim, they should be chalko v'chelet ha'rasha b'gan Eden. Alright, then he goes on to say this parable. He should call them yeshlo shnei chalokim. Echa b'gan Eden, echa b'gan Eden. Yeah, I know, it's a funny thing. Sin knows the answer. Tzaddik ato Hashem ki oz alecha. You are righteous. I can't argue with you. You're righteous. Ach mishpotem adabar alecha. Mahu adarach Hashem tzalecha. Sholu kol bogey bogey. And he says, Nekatam dam shel rosh. You planted them and you're firmly rooted. Yelchu dam osu teret. They go and they're productive. Korov ato b'fihem v'rochot mikil yosef. You're very close to their mouths, which means, the way the material is double experience, it means that to their appearance, because the rosh, of course, never appears as a wicked person. The rosh always covers himself with righteousness. But in God acts towards them as if that's the way they are. That's the way they are. Because no Russia will ever say that he's righteous. Never. No such thing. He always has a righteous cause. So he covers his wickedness with his righteous cause. And God acts towards him as if that's really his essence. His essence is the cover-up. Okay? Here's the thing. He is safe by Shmuel and Tibbon. So I was looking at it, Mitch Lesnar went to me, made a photo of it. So I don't know if it was this question or he asked the question. I got over this question. He says, why is it that nobody always asks the question about the Russian? Why is the Russian in court? Okay. So he says, why don't they ask why the Tzaddik suffers? because that's where the culture is more important. And secondly, you should be even why the rest got the rest. He says he's too sharp. He says because a person can never know who its object is. It's impossible to know who its object is. Because he says, he gives a Dizan Chazan. Chazan say that when Alcha saw the Alcha's question, was it possible that Sam Mitzvah on the look, was it possible that a father told his son to go up to the tree, look down, and he was trying to keep it off the aim and she looked down, and he fell down and died. So where's the